each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony.
Hey Father.
We're here freezing. Nick is over there. Hi there, Nick. It's winter.
It's winter.
No heat in the studio, so we'll be wide awake through the hour, that's for sure. How are you doing?
All right.
You're okay. You know. And you brought your lovely wife.
Yeah, she's here.
I saw her upstairs, so I told her to come down.
She's not very obedient, Father.
She's not. Hey, by the way, Nick, since you're in here, Nick, that's okay. Don't worry. It's fine. Thursday, we're going to have the children from the school.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Good.
So we'll have them... Hopefully Thursday they're going to be on the show. So
I forgot that's that time of the season.
It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I did not even wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving because it didn't even occur to me that it was Thanksgiving week. You know, and then
that's how that goes.
And now we've got they had the La Posada, and then the lighting of the tree on Saturday night. And so I was, and it was such a busy day, but I only realized, because I went after the 5 o'clock mass, I went over there. I was in my vestments and everything because I wanted to catch them before they were done. They started at 5, and that's when the mass starts. And, but then I really, and it had been the whole weekend was nonstop. I mean, from morning till night, it was nonstop. And I got to the school, and, they were having the people made tamales and the hot chocolate and all that, and one of the teachers said, you know, she said, can we come on the show this week because for the play? And I said, play what? It's that time of year. It's so hard to believe that we're already almost in. Well, we're going into the third week of Advent, you know, coming up. It's just unbelievable. Time is going entirely too fast.
It's interesting because when Thanksgiving comes, you know Christmas is right around the corner. And I never really believed that. I mean, because you get caught up in whatever you're doing in life. And, you know, but I'm now more aware that the minute one comes, if you're not paying attention...
Why is that? Why is it that it used to be? I mean, I'm sure technology has a lot to do with it. I guess we're adults, you know, so we're busy, you know. But I don't remember time going so fast.
I want to say it's not because we're getting older, but I think it is. But you hear it from young people that say the same thing.
Young people say the same thing. Yeah. I think it's the technology. I think it's that our time is fully consumed. We don't have.
Yeah.
We've got we're having confessions for the kids this week, and as I was telling you before the show began, we had the eighth graders and the fourth graders today, and the eighth grade they were great. They were so good and. They wanted to talk, you know. I mean, they kept me in the confessional a long time. I just finished a little while ago. Both grades, we started at 8:30.
Oh.
And they really talk about a sense of hope. These young people, they're aware of what's going on. And they just seem to be... I mean, every one of them, they had beautiful confessions. Then they wanted to talk, and just they're talking about God.
Wow.
And, you know, the and asking questions, you know, how to do this, how to do that, can some advice here, some advice there. It was just, I don't recall ever having such a, spending so much time with each student. And they just seemed very, they seemed to be beyond their age.
Wow.
You know? So I'm really, really happy about that. And even the fourth graders, they did a great job as well. They were really good. But they kept me in there a long time. It was, I thought the teacher probably made me thought I was, you know, just giving them this really long counsel or something. But no, they wanted to talk. And so that was that. So we're going to pray now. We're going to do the Angelus. And then we'll talk about, I want to go back to this past Sunday, and then also, believe it or not, it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception tomorrow, and then we're right up into, going right into the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which falls on a Sunday, so it doesn't take precedent, but we'll celebrate, we'll have the Las Mañanitas at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then we have the full Sunday schedule. I've added these hours of confessions, I think I was telling you, mm-hmm. I might have mentioned this, but I'm so happy I've done it, but it just... So I say, you know, after the 12 o'clock Mass, I'll go into the confessional at 1:15, between 1:15 and 1:30, depending on when we get done. Just get I have about a 15-minute break, just mm-hmm. I get my little espresso here, and yeah. Take a little coffee break, and then until 3 o'clock. And then I'll go back at 4:30 until 5:15 before the 5:30 Mass. And it's now I started in October, mm-hmm. and... It's getting longer and longer. So I went to 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Then I had a half hour break, and then I was back in. And you know, God gives me the energy. It's just amazing, and just really, really, they're two good confessions. Mm-hmm. People who haven't been to confession in sometimes 20 years, sometimes wow. 30 years, really. It's just like with opening the doors of the church, which mm-hmm. I thought was just the best thing we've done. And this is really at the prompting of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it's like, well, how can we keep the doors open 24/7? But we've done it, and it's been a very good thing.
Yeah.
And then adding the confessions, which is I feel this it's like a call, right? You know mm-hmm. that this is you know. Give them the time, give them space, you know, yeah. for avail yourself that they're able to go to confession.
Yeah.
So how am I going to do that? I've got all the masses, and but it's Sunday every Sunday since the first Sunday of October yeah. has worked out beautifully.
See, I'm known well. I travel around, and you know, you go to different parishes, and I always. It always bothers me that there's confession on Saturday between 1 and 1:45. Once and on, again, I guess it depends on some of these parishes. You know, like you, I mean, it's maybe one priest, but I just don't. There's moments I especially love when there's places when you can here you know when the schedule is, and even on a Sunday, which is probably the last, you're thinking, you're not thinking about confession on a Sunday, but it's so beautiful to either before Mass or during the day when you know that you couldn't go to communion,
right,
and then you
right.
get the opportunity. We have a Mass in the evening.
Right.
It's such a beautiful.
It is, and you know, you bring up the Sunday thing. You know, is it having confessions on Sunday? You don't think of that, but that's the only, you know, aside from the weekdays, which mm-hmm. we have confessions. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that is from 6 to 6:45. But it usually goes right up against the Mass. Sometimes beyond the Mass, and sometimes more and more. What we're doing is going back to the confessional after the Mass.
That's the hard thing too. When it's just one person, you're one, one priest here, and I envision maybe having a time where I'm sure years ago Mass confession was. All the time.
Well, you had priests.
You had priests.
You know.
Yeah.
When the canons take over, when I die or when I'm done, when I have to go to the pasture or whatever they say, I dread that day. Not so much the day of my death, but I don't. Somebody asked me the other day too. That you know, and I get this more and more because I guess I'm at that age. And they say, "Well, when are you going to retire or whatever?" I said, "I don't think of retirement.
But it's retired.
It doesn't. Does a priest retire? I don't think so. You work until you can't. You know.
Yeah.
But the but Saturdays normally." Many parishes might have confessions on Saturday, but we don't have the space for that,
right?
Because we've got so many masses on Saturday. I had a funeral Saturday. Did I already say this?
I had
a funeral Saturday morning. Then I had the baptisms because the Spanish baptisms, normally the deacons do the Spanish. I do the English, but the deacon couldn't make it because of his job. So I went right from the funeral right into the baptisms.
Yeah.
Then I had two memorial masses, and because I know the people, you think you're going to have time between the masses, but there is no time because you're talking with the people and, you know, reconnecting and all that. And then the 5 o'clock mass, and then right away from there to the school for the, and then you come back, and then Sunday it starts all over.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful. It really is beautiful, and I think that the. What should I say? You know, this whole idea of I don't want to be overly critical, and I probably have already said this before, but this idea that we're, you know, like the synod and unsynodality, you know, we're going to talk and everybody's going to dialogue and all that. You know, we've got the catechism, we've got the sacraments, we've got our, you know, we know what we're supposed to do. We're not going to accommodate the world. We're here for the world. We're the sacrament that mediates the grace of God in the world. But I just don't quite understand because my experience has always been that, you know, dialogue really is a monologue. Either you go with the agenda, whatever that agenda is, and you're placated as if you've got a voice when you really don't have a voice. But do we need a voice when the voice is already spoken? You know, the word has been spoken, right? The God became flesh, the incarnation. He laid out the blueprint. We've got 2,000 years of history, and we've got the catechism. Thank God for the beautiful catechism that was updated in 1994, I think it was. I believe that was the first time since the Council of Trent. And it's just beautiful, a beautiful, beautiful catechism. So we've got everything. So I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, if we would just do what we're supposed to do, you know, fulfill our responsibilities, fulfill our obligations, whether you're a priest, whether you're a parent, whether you're married, whatever your state of life might be, whatever your vocation may be, that we live our identity as people of faith, as Catholics. So anyway, Tony, let's pray the Angelus, okay? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, everybody. You know, we're going to take a break, Nick. Nick, we'll take a break, huh? Okay. And then we'll come back and start. All right, everybody, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
The cold and snow is just about here. And so, Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stanislaus Kostka is asking for donations of new or used men's winter coats. You may drop them off Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Soup Kitchen off the church parking lot. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Thank you for your generosity.
I'm Loretta Freilich, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know that a princess helped introduce St. Nicholas to the Western world? This happened in the year 972 when Princess Theophano, the niece of Emperor John of Constantinople, brought a mosaic icon of yours truly, St. Nicholas, to Rome as a wedding gift to her husband-to-be, Otto II, the future emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. After their royal wedding mass celebrated by Pope John XIII in the old St. Peter's Basilica, Princess Theophano became the Lady Di of her age. Suddenly, everything she did, including her love of St. Nicholas, seemed to be copied by everyone. In fact, besides me, there's one more thing she introduced to the Western world that you'll use during your meal this Christmas. The dinner fork. So as we raise our dinner forks this Christmas, let's remember the royal princess who worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we proclaim, Christ is born, glorify him.
Interesting. And yes, yesterday was a feast of St. Nicholas. Hey,
did he say dinner fork?
He did. Yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. What's that?
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I took the children were leaving from the confessional school. We do those in my chapel here in the rectory, and I let them go through the church so they could, because it's really cold outside, and they come in from the front to the side door over here, so they're walking, but going out. We went through the church, and as soon as I opened the door to the sacristy, they could smell the soup kitchen.
Soup kitchen,
and everybody just felt...
You know, it's lunchtime.
Lunchtime, yeah. Anyway, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys here, and I want to go back to the last Sunday because, you know, we had the series of very, very foreboding readings on Feast of Christ the King, and then the week after, the first week of Advent, what will precede the second coming of Christ. And, of course, you know, Jesus said people will die of fright at what's coming upon the world. And, you know, just this cosmic upheaval and everything upside down. We're certainly passing through a diabolical disorientation, and it seemingly that certainly Scripture, the biblical, the Bible really speaks about that. The Church speaks about it as well, as extrapolating from the Bible, that in the end there will be the man of iniquity or woman of iniquity, the Antichrist. There are Antichrists all the time, all around us, but in the end there will be this. It'll be such that the Church will have to make that walk down that narrow path, the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, participating in a rather profound way, rather deep way, in the sufferings of Christ and the redemptive work of Jesus. And in the eyes of the world, she will look as if she's been destroyed, and then God will come and claim what is His own. And in that, as we're making that walk, and we're really in that, I guess we always have been to a certain extent, but things will really intensify as we come to the end. So we say we're in the last days from the time of the ascension until the coming of Christ, the messianic age, till He comes at the second time. And of course, remember, Jesus said, when He comes, will there even be faith in the world, or rather, hearts of men and women, very cold, frozen. But the Lord always ensures for Himself an anawim, those who will keep the faith and suffer the faith, that the false deities be unmasked, and that'll be through the humble, the anawim, as we always say, the anawim, the little flock. But there will be this cosmic upheaval, and the Lord will come, and the world will pass away, the old order will pass away, and He will usher in the full realization of the kingdom. And even as I mentioned to people here and probably over the radio, but I mean in the masses often, that, you know, the world could go on for 500, 1,000, even a million years, but in reality, how much time do we have? Our days are counted, our days are numbered, our time is limited. We have just a little bit of time in history when you think of the whole of human history, and you think of the history of the Church, the 2,000 years from the time of the Messianic hour, you know, the Incarnation, the Paschal mystery. That's already 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago when God reveals Himself to Abraham. And that kind of begins the, it's the whole of history, right? God is revealing Himself and walking with the people, preparing the people. And the ups and the downs and the peaks and the valleys and the good and the bad and the fidelity, infidelity, corruption, periods of great sanctity, periods of great corruption or infidelity. And yet God is persistent. He's persevering. He's constant. He's always with us on the way, and purging and chastising, purging, transforming, sanctifying, but He brings the world to that messianic moment, and you could feel it in the air. And there were those who were able to read the signs of the times and respond to the, as we heard Sunday, John the Baptist, who calls the people to repent. And it's all put within the context of history. And John goes throughout the region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the Lord. And then the quote from Isaiah, the prophet, that a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight His paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus came to save us the first time. That's where Advent is a preparation for the feast of the Nativity of our Lord, the feast of the Incarnation. Advent means arriving, coming, but it's really it's a remembering that He came. But the season is really a season to awaken us to the reality that he is coming, he is arriving. So you know, it's a call to be vigilant, to be to prepare the way of the Lord. I asked on Sunday, who's the prophetic voice today? You know, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord. And my suggestion is, because right now, you know, in a world like ours, we've got to look to heaven. We're part of this mystical body. So you've got the Church Triumphant, the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of all saints, the Mother of God. You've got the Church suffering and undergoing the purgation in preparation for the entrance into heaven. And then you've got the Church Militant. That's who we are here in the here and now of our journey, as we're in the exile, so to speak, committed to life, lovers of life, but in the world, but not of the world. So it's, in fact, I'll quote St. Paul here and St. John in a moment. But what's interesting to me is we've got in this part of the Messianic age, already listed going back 500 years, which would be 1,500 years after the Messianic hour, the moment in time when Jesus came, when God was with us in the flesh, 1,500 years after. So the last 500 years, the Marian apparitions have been such that there is this voice calling out from heaven, visiting us and asking us to prepare the way of the Lord. It's really the call to repentance in all her apparitions. And I mean, I was going back to, like, even let's just say Guadalupe, let's just say begin there. That's my opinion, my suggestion, my reflection. Is that it kind of, in a sense, it begins with that apparition whereby she brings the faith into the quote-unquote new world. It brings an end to the sacrifices, human sacrifices, and brings Christ to the new world, and it provoked her apparition and the leaving the image on the tilma of herself, of St. Juan Diego. Inspired nearly 9 million Indians to convert to the faith, to receive our Lord. So the greatest mass conversion in the history of the human race, really quite remarkable, mysterious, miraculous. But then in these past 500 years, and then we go to, you know, Quito, Ecuador, in the 16th century as well, when Our Lady appeared to a nun, and I forgot the name of the sister. I'm not even sure if she's been canonized a saint. Probably has. I don't just remember her name right off. But the apparition was pretty foreboding as well, as she spoke about and kind of put it within the context of history, and that would have been this past century. That there would be the beginning of this this cosmic upheaval, and she spoke about the scandalous what would happen among the priesthood and the bishops and the always a call to pray for the Pope and the family and immorality and all this. She again, put it within a historical context, and you think about what happened in the past second half of the last century, with let's just go from Quito to Lourdes, where she through Bernadette brought forth this miraculous water that is to this day been the source of physical and spiritual healing for thousands, maybe millions of people, you know, since that apparition, which I think was in 1858, and she, when asked, "Who are you? What is your name?" she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And that was right around the time that the church infallibly stated Mary to be the Immaculate Conception, which means she was conceived without evil. I mean, without sin, mm-hmm. without evil, conceived without sin. It's, her feast day is tomorrow. But she said, and what does she say to Bernadette, St. Bernadette, but that prayer and penance. Then you had La Salette, where she comes weeping. She's seated and weeping. And there, too, you know, these foreboding messages about if people don't return to the Lord, if they don't convert. And she was very specific about not observing the Sabbath or the day of the Lord, a Sunday, not observing that. But this very lackadaisical response to, or a lack of response to the commandments right. of God. And so from La Salette then to Fatima, the very famous apparitions of Our Lady in Fatima, where she said that if we don't, people must repent, they must return to God. She spoke about the need to pray the rosary for conversion and for peace, and said that if there is not conversion, then there she spoke about the things that would come, the calamities, the wars, world wars, the annihilation of nations. She also spoke about the family and marriage and the division within the church and bishop against bishop and, you know, the immorality on the part of the priest, that we need to pray for the Pope again. She mentioned that. Now, 100 years later, it seems, and you got to think, we're God's time is not our time, and 100 years is, again, nothing when you consider the whole of history. 500 years is not much when you consider the whole of history. But again, we have just a little bit of time. Right. If we live to be 100, that's a very, very long life. Most don't live to be that old. And we know, we were just talking about how fast time is going. But the apparitions in Cabejo, which we talked about that, I think, last week or the week before. It must have been the week before. I believe we spoke about that, mm-hmm. didn't we?
I think we did.
And in Cabejo, in Rwanda, in Africa, she came with a message that the people, the world needs to prepare for the coming of her son. And again, the call to conversion, to prayer, a return to God. And if we don't, she said, of Africa, that the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead. And she says, I'm coming not only for Cabejo, not only for Butere, not only for Kigali, I'm coming for Rwanda, not just for Rwanda, but for the whole of Africa. Indeed, I'm coming for the whole world, calling people to return to God. She told the children, the young people, that the people there should unite their sufferings to those of Jesus on the cross, prepare for their death. And I guess in a prophetic way, knowing that the people wouldn't respond, that she, I mean, because quite literally, an article in one of the Chicago papers, I believe it was a Tribune, in 1994, just a decade after the apparitions, 40,000 bodies pulled from the rivers of Rwanda, nearly a million people basically macheted to death, or they took refuge in churches, and they were, just the genocide, the massacred in the churches, even in Cabejo itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that prophetic voice crying out to prepare the way. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, mm-hmm. in her diary, that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. Jesus said this to St. Maria Faustina. She was a secretary of the Divine Mercy. And he says, you know, this is a time of grace, a time of mercy before the day of judgment, and people should return to me. I'm waiting. You know, my mercy is my greatest attribute. And look to the cross, the love of God, incomprehensible, taken to the extreme. the divine mercy, the fount of divine mercy that is ever perpetuated and flowing until he comes at the end, at the end of time. And he says, when he comes, it'll be the day of judgment. But the spark that comes out of Poland, would that not be Pope John Paul II, who, because the messages were given in the 1930s, preceding the Second World War, but that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for my second coming. And Pope John Paul II was raised to the papacy in 1978. He who said, I remind you, he said, this is the year, 2 years before he was raised to the papacy, I don't think the world realizes we're up against a final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel, the anti-gospel, the Christ, and the anti-gospel. This is a trial we must take up, and it's all under the umbrella of divine providence. But again, the message, this is a time of mercy. And the Lord says, I don't, you know, no matter how steeped in sin, you know, come to me, because you know, he from the cross he cries, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He came the first time to save us, to redeem us. When he comes a second time, he will come to judge. That'll be the great judgment. The old order will pass away, the world will pass away, and he will usher in the kingdom. And so Advent is the season reminding us what we must be doing all through the year, because every Mass celebrated is the Church in vigilant prayer anticipating the arrival, the coming of Christ at the end of time to usher in his kingdom. The Mass is prayed in anticipation, in a longing anticipation, calling forth the coming of Jesus. So, but again, the world can go on for 500, 1,000 years, but we got to think about what kind of time we have. With that, we're going to take a break, and then I want to come back and just go back to the danger of the last days as written by St. Paul and St. John in their epistles. I think it's fascinating, really, to take and read the epistles, even the little one, St. Jude. We don't think about these are little letters. St. John has 1, 2, 3 letters. The letter of St. Jude, the book of Revelation, which also comes from John through this mystical experience, is very, it's like a cryptic language. It's very, a lot of allegory, metaphors and all that. It's about the cosmic upheaval, that everything will be flipped upside down, and there's going to be this final battle between good and evil. God, who is victorious, and that's why Jesus says, you know, you're going to have trouble, you're going to be hated on account of me, you're going to be persecuted, but be at peace and take courage, because I've conquered the world. But that realization of the victory, the full realization of that victory, will come when he comes at the end of time, preceded by this cosmic upheaval, which is perhaps really upon us. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to share with you the words of St. Paul and St. John. All right, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stan Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legge.
St. John the Baptist could be called the patron saint of Advent because he announces the coming of the Lord. And this is what we're waiting for in the Advent season. What is one of the key lines from John the Baptist, his advice to us? He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This could be a very nice verse to meditate on throughout Advent. How can Christ increase in my life? Well, some very practical recommendations. Think of him more often. Very simple, think of Jesus. And then when you think of him, ask him for his help. Ask him to help you with whatever you are doing right now. Ask him to be present in your life. And then ask for the grace of humility. Ask to decrease, so that as you decrease, Christ in your life will increase, and then you will be a face of Christ to those around you.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Oh, very nice, really, isn't it? Yeah. And that's, I decrease that he increase, return to God. So my suggestion is that Our Lady is the modern day or the present day. You know, so John was the forerunner and called for this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, to prepare a way, the way of the Lord. And he points out there the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As we, even at Mass now for 2,000 years, we raise a host after the consecration and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And of course our response, "Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but say only the word, my soul shall be healed." But this, going back to the Our Lady's, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who the saints have said down through the ages that she will precede the coming of her Son. She will prepare the world. She will gather her army, the little flock, you know. And I want you to listen to the words of St. Paul. And as I say, it's fascinating to read Scripture. The epistles, the whole of it, the Gospels, the epistles, the Old Testament, everything, it's all, you know, but the epistles, the letters, St. Paul says, this is under the danger of the last days. This is his second letter to Timothy. He says, "Understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days." He said, "People will be self-centered, lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, relentless, slanderous, licentious, lawless, morally unrestrained, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense for religion." Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, "I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be delivered to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardship, perform your work well, be responsible, fulfill your obligations before the Lord." So this is like Jesus said the week before, you know, when he says people will die of fright, but he says, "But you, stand straight, stand erect, have your head high, and, you know, basically keep the faith." John, his second letter says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we were commanded by the Father. For this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that we love one another. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Such is the deceitful one and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that you do not lose what we worked for, but may receive a full recompense. Anyone who is so progressive, and that's the word, progressive,
yeah,
as not to remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever remains in the teaching has the Father and the Son. Now, just listening to that, what do you think?
You know, it's when you really get into Scripture, and I could say it even for me, I've heard the word so many times, and is it not, can you not just look around and see that, how could something be written like this for this time? And think about it like this, and I'm not trying to convince people, because I'm sure people that are listening know the importance of Scripture, but I mean, I don't know how somebody could write something like this. And it's so meaningful. It's just what it, you know.
It's the full counsel of God, and it seems to me that well, first of all, you know, just lawless, morally unrestrained, hating what is good, reckless, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And again, you know, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
There's always been, but the intensification and the and we know, I mentioned this on Sunday, but first of all, you think of the, I didn't even realize this had happened Saturday night here in Chicago, but first of all, I mentioned on Sunday about the and we probably mentioned this on the radio before, but the students that were shot, four or five were killed in Michigan. You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, last week. So one of the students went into the school and shot nine people, one teacher and the rest, nine in total, I think.
Right.
But four or five died. And, you know, just that. So I was interested. It was interesting because the superintendent was asked right after it happened. Mm-hmm. They had a news briefing, and he was asked point blank, do you have metal detectors?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of it seemed like he was stunned by the mm-hmm. question. He says, no, we don't. And I'm thinking Chicago does, but the point is that's right there, the fact that you have to have metal detectors
who
in the school.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Exactly.
And I mentioned, you know, before that, and I mentioned on Sunday that when I was in high school, you know, my classmates were hunters. A lot of them were right. hunters, and they would drive their trucks to school, and they had their rifles on the rack mm-hmm. at the back window inside the cab.
Because that's what parents, fathers, and sons did.
And nobody
exactly
blinked an eye. No, there was none of this.
But I look at today. I mean, how many sons are really spend time with their father, or how many? It's come to the point where there's no even respect for the weapon itself.
Well, look what happened in Chicago, just here in Chicago on Saturday night. I didn't realize this until yesterday. Mm-hmm. I missed the news because Sunday I was really busy. Yesterday was Monday, right? Yeah. I didn't realize they had all these,
smash and grabs.
And then the bus driver that was beaten up and a police officer had his arm broken. And these were by children, young people.
Yeah.
The one girl, I don't know if she died or I don't think she died, but a 12-year-old was shot. Mm-hmm. She was part of all that. But these were 14, 15, 12. These were children.
Well, what about the 14-year-old they got for carjacking? He was...
It's crazy.
This is ridiculous.
And this is going on all over the place.
Just, you hear it all the time, politicians say about the children and taking care of the children. This is not taking care of the children. I'm sorry. This doesn't work. I don't I don't get this. I don't know when it's going to get to a point where it's, okay, we realize this doesn't work.
How do you pull this back? You know, it's just, there's got to be the two things that are necessary. And both are under attack.
Yep.
The faith and the family. A two-parent family. I mean, God bless them, women who are raising their children because the husband abandoned, or maybe there was no husband in many cases, or there is no husband. But until we can bring back the family, speak about the crisis in family, and again, this is the Blessed Mother spoke about all this, but the crisis in family, the crisis in marriage, the crisis in faith, you know, the apostasy, this going away from the faith, until we can address these, just those two issues, faith and family, we're not going to be able to resolve this. We won't be able to resolve this.
As much money as you want at it, it's not going to do.
What's really sad, too, is and I've been listening and reading more about the opioid and fentanyl crisis. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's as if the young people are, not just the young people, but certainly the young people are being afflicted because they're being indoctrinated, exposed to pornography already. But it's not even, the internet, I was just listening to this yesterday too. It's what they're doing in a lot of schools where they're actually bringing what is pornographic mm-hmm. in order to teach about sexuality and all kinds of perversions, indoctrinating the children. This is, we're toying with their psychosexual development. They're maturing. It's a very, very crazy time we're living in. But the only way to resolve this is a return to the faith, a return to God,
yep.
a return to the family. You know, this is...
But I wonder when people will realize that something is wrong. I mean... I think we're at the point.
People know that. I said it before. I think what the problem is, we don't. Well, people do want, mm-hmm. but many don't want the discipline of the faith.
Yeah.
God, again, I have to reiterate this over and over. God is a demanding God. He says that of himself. He's not permissive. Our faith is a discipline, just as St. Paul said, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are signs of the end times, terrifying times. We've been breeding narcissism. Anyway, we're going to take a final break, but faith and family. If we don't return to faith and family, if we don't address the real issue, the real crisis, we're not going to resolve the problem. Unfortunately, you've got the dark side of the social media, technology, and in fact, it's through social media that these these people through social media mm-hmm. they know where to congregate at what time and mm-hmm. where, but this is all organized. Organized.
So do you remember this? And I know we're going through a break, but do you remember the dry run to this years ago? This thing was happening, and right. now it's commonplace. Yeah. So it's like. People need to see this.
It's commonplace and it's everywhere.
Exactly.
In every place. It's the suburbs as well.
Everywhere.
All over the United States. This is something happening all over the states. But again, family and faith, if we lose our sensitivity to the necessity of family, responsibility, manhood, what it is to be a father, what it is to be a man, mothers, women, the faith, it's so there's a crisis in family, in marriage, in the priesthood. It's all institutions, sacred institutions, have been infiltrated by the spirit of the world. Really, it's very interesting. We'll take a break and we'll be back and wrap up. Again, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys here. And people know that something is radically wrong. And by the way, this is a thing that I liked with these students today. Mm-hmm. They know. And that is a sign of hope, because they see what's happening, and they're perhaps, you know, because we're made by God for God, and the law of God is written into our hearts. And so, well, thank God these kids are able to have a Catholic education, and they sometimes you wonder, are they taking it in? Yeah. But you know, today it was good for me, because it reminds me that yes, indeed they are. But I just want to end on an encouraging note, and this is again from St. Paul, who says, "I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now." In other words, yeah, the joy is that we keep the faith, and we need to, you know, we need each other in this regard. He says, "I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more." And I add this, in spite of what's going on all around us, in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. In other words, we got to pray for each other, that we're keeping the faith. You wouldn't be listening if you're not keeping the faith. You know, and Jesus said, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But in view of all the stuff that's going on all around us, we have to lean into Christ, lean into the heart of Jesus, lean into the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, we didn't get into the Immaculate Conception, but we'll talk about that probably Friday, because we have the kids, mm-hmm. I think, coming on Thursday, and Our Lady of Guadalupe as well. We'll talk about that. But yeah, everybody, keep the faith, keep strong, don't lose hope. We're people of hope. Peace be with you. God bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that.